This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_RingsideRant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love, your host of Over the Top Rope on the Wind Column Sports Network. Don't forget, you can head to windcolumnsports.ca for all of your previews, reviews, and breaking news from the world of wrestling, be it your major promotions or from the great province of Alberta, Canada.
If you like podcasts and you are listening to our Backbreaker Media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish.
And myself, Manoyan.
And the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like. Because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
That's when we hope to draw, but sometimes Mike Malawaini doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word, because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh, but I'll try not to swear. Ah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it. The two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of the key. Supposed to be a struggle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm drunk.
If you don't want to listen to us, then no! You're stupid because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah,
later,
what he said.
Later, bitches!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Quick Calls. I am Monster Pro Wrestling General Manager and Senior Engineer at Backbreaker Media. Mike the Ref, a.k.a. Mike Maloney here. We just finished up the Riptribution show from the Alberta Ave Hall. For people that aren't familiar with Riptribution, it basically is the biggest show for Monster Pro Wrestling of the year. It's like the WrestleMania of Monster Pro Wrestling. We had 5 outstanding matches, but before I get to those, I need to give a big shout out to the crowd here. We did have standing room only. I do believe we ran out of tickets to sell in the booth. And with that, I want to applaud all of you for showing up. And for those that didn't, I hope you get a chance to see it when it comes out here on both video on demand and on DVD. So, overall, this show pretty much where Monster Pro Wrestling needs to be. It's really on an upswing right now, and you could tell right away by the new staging and lighting effects. For those that were in attendance, we did have some audio problems. Seems somebody played with a few dials that shouldn't have and ratcheted up the sound a little bit, but we weren't able to fix it until intermission. So, but you know what? These cards always come down to the wrestling, and we had some great matches on the card. Let's get right to them here. Coming up right off the bat, I had mentioned in past months that we had a little issue with the Ripper Hardcore Championship. We did open up a 24/7 rule with the Hardcore title. I did it in order to get the title out for the summer, since we actually didn't have any singles matches all summer when it came to the tag team tournament. We had nothing from July till September in terms of singles matches. And I thought, you know, 24/7, you get it out to any of the festivals in town, out to K-Days. Hell, maybe get it down to Calgary for the Stampede. But it turned into a bit of a joke with a few scenarios that came up. Like, seriously, we had guys winning it in poker games. Like, I don't know. To me, that just doesn't sound right. So, last month, if you guys were at Vindication, I absolved the title from the Cheetah Bear Jew Dawkins, who was fighting Kato. Essentially, Kato came in right after his match, after Jew did the same thing earlier in the night. And this was basically becoming a distraction when the matches in the ring were getting involved. So I absolved the title, and I've rechristened it now. Now, the rules for this title are very simple. The champion must accept any challenge that's brought before him, and there will only be one challenge available per show. So we can't have multiple people challenging for that title every show, and it must be made clear before the match. Like, if there's a tag team match and somebody pins the Ripper champion, you can't say you're the Ripper champion, because you had to declare before the match that you wanted it for the Ripper title. So little things like that. I thought this would be more of a tribute to Trevor Grimolson, the Ripper, the man that this show is named after. So from here on out, it is known as the Ripper Challenge title. So, but since we didn't have a champion and we had two challengers for this matchup, I got to make the stipulation. Now, at the end of the night, it was the fans bring the weapons battle royal. So I decided I'd bring some of my own weapons and make it Mikey's weapons match. So it was a weapons match between the last two men to hold the title, the Asian Adonis Kato and the Cheetah Bear Jew Dawkins. Now, to start off this match, Kato got the mic and he insisted that he wanted the he wanted to have just a straight one-on-one matchup, no weapons, whatever. Jude really didn't care. He just wanted to get his hands on Kato and just wanted to rip him apart. So they make this gentleman's agreement. I just told him it's a weapons match. I don't care what they say. If they choose to use them, great. If not, oh well. So the match gets going. A very technical matchup. And that's what you would expect for the fact that both these guys know each other so well. A lot of counters, a lot of, I would have to say, simple wrestling in some cases here. Simple and effective sometimes is the best way to go if you're trying to take on an opponent that you face multiple times. Now, as the match progressed, Kato was getting more and more into trouble, and he decided to go for the weapons. He managed to get knocked out of the ring, and he decided to go for a garbage can and a chair and a kendo stick. Now, things got a little crazy in there. The Cheetah Bear got a few shots with the kendo stick, but then the tides turned, and Kato ended up getting charged into the corner into a garbage can. It ended up sitting on the chair that was laid out, and the Cheetah Bear Jew Dawkins hit the Red Queen onto the garbage can, onto Kato, on the chair, onto the floor. And at 10 minutes and 50 seconds, became the inaugural winner of the Ripper Challenge title. So, pretty much what you would expect at that point. It's sort of apropos, I think, is the best way to put it. This all started way back in July, when I made that title 24/7, the first change was when the Cats captured Jew Dawkins and beat him up and tied him to a chair, and Kato hit him with a baseball bat. Rick Jules hit him with a baseball bat. Scratch three. Go check out the video, folks. I'm pretty sure it was Puffin James Crowder that hit him with a baseball bat. Knocked Dawkins over. The Cats held him down. And Kato pinned Dawkins to get the first change in the 24/7 era. Sort of fitting. that at the end you had Dawkins win the Ripper Challenge title with a chair and knock Kato off of it. So great match to start off. The fans were happy to start off. But then let's ramp it up to another level here. I instantly called out Nate Dixon. Now, for people that didn't know, I was supposed to have this scheduled as, I would guess you would call it, the semi main event. This was supposed to go on right before the heavyweight championship match, but I got a little upset, and I didn't want to make sure that Nasty Nate Dixon didn't know who his challengers were going to be in the matchup here. So I called him out and told him his title match was going to start right there and then. So I introduced his three opponents. Excuse me. First of all, we had Kid Cyrus, who I announced earlier this week. Made his return a couple months ago back to MPW and just been tearing it up ever since. A new man to MPW by the name of Daisano, D-A-I-S-A-N-O. So Conception Chile. It's 175 pounds, and he is quick and sudden. That's the best way I can sum it up, folks. Quick and sudden. Got a little bit of an attitude on him. And then my big surprise for the night, the return of El Diablo, straight out of El Dorado, Saskatchewan. Now, we got a chance to see El Diablo work in Bodyville as part of the Lakeland Pro Wrestling Chapter 1. He looked like he didn't miss a beat, so I made a little phone call and asked him if he would be willing to come back and join the Monster Pro Wrestling roster. I believe he's going to be around for a little bit. Might only be a few months, but we'll see what happens here, folks. But this match, my goodness, this match. This was quick, this was sudden, this was all over the place. Action, left, right, and center. Guys hit moves, left. All over the place. You had crazy tandem drop kicks, whips back and forth. I tried to explain it all, but folks, you're going to have to watch the match to understand exactly what was going on here. But at the 9-minute 38-second mark, you had Kid Cyrus, who had just completed a shooting star press onto Nasty Nate to complete the 1-2-3 and become the brand new MPW Provincial Champion. Congratulations to Kid Cyrus. Very happy that he got the title, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do with it. Nasty Nate claimed that he was the best champion ever. Well, great champions work hard to get their titles back, so guess he's going to have to work a little harder to get that title once again. All right, up from there. Match number three. And this is one of those that I think for a lot of people had a lot of trepidations about. For me, this is the one match that I did not set up, that the wrestlers wanted it themselves. Psycho Sawyer, Sexy Samantha, they decided to push the envelope a little bit. Last year at Riptribution 10, they had a chairs match for the MPW Women's Championship, but that was absolutely brutal. But this year, they decided to go for a ladder match. Now, I think they personally were both completely insane for picking this match, but they really held their own. I expected a complete disaster here where we might end up having no winner. But these two fought it out left, right, and center and overcome the odds and put on a hell of a display out there. And then at the 11:47 mark, Sexy Sam, after knocking Psycho Sawyer off the top of the ladder with a shiver forearm, manages to take down the MPW Women's Championship head retained. I will say this, they did a hell of a job there, and it was a hell of a match, so congrats to both ladies on setting the bar high for future ladder matches for ladies here in Alberta. And I can't wait to see what the future entails. So But then for there, let's get to our fourth match. And that was for the Renegade Tag Team titles. You had the Catalyst taking on the Odd Couple team of Blake Cannon and Big Ben, taking on one half of the former MPW Renegade Tag Team champions, Mitch Clark, and his partner, Rich King. Right now, I want to send best wishes to Lumberjack Larry, who was unable to make it due to his medical condition after getting walloped in that last match in Edmonton. And then taking on the champions, Wrestling Royalty, T.Y. Jackson and King B. Folks, eight-man tags. Can anybody say schmoz? This is pretty well as big of a schmoz as you're going to get. Eight guys all over the place, going all like the action was spilling out outside the ring, inside the ring. The one thing I felt happy about in terms of what happened later on in the show, Rick Jules and Blake Cannon tried to do the finger poke of doom. Everybody came in and broke it up, and that's when the action really started here. So I'm glad we didn't have any of those stupid finishes like that. So all in all, in the end, at the 13-minute, 30-second mark, you had a double top rope finishers from King B and T.Y. Jackson. I do believe it was on Crowder, as Big Ben had left the building because he got fed up with dealing with Blake Cannon. Oh, no, sorry, my apologies. It was Blake Cannon that got killed by Wrestling Royalty. Really impressed with the frog splash by King B because it was three quarters of the way across the ring, and he hit it perfectly. And in the end, the 1-2-3 of the champions retain. And then after the match, my goodness, the Catalyst got cleaned out by the other two teams with tandem power bombs. Ugh. Honestly, the one on Crowder, I do have to go check the medical facility because he landed pretty hard on his neck. So as much as I can't stand the way those guys act, like everyone in that cat's meow and all the affiliate factions, I can't keep track of it all right now, folks. I do wish them nothing but the best and a speedy recovery. But from there. Now, after everything that's gone on since, I guess, June, between Sean Martin's Wrath, Massive Damage, Chris Parrish, and Maniac, in terms of that heavyweight championship, I knew I'd have to come up with a very unique match to get this solved. As you saw the finger poke of doom in the last match, I wanted to make sure that wasn't going to happen again. So I came up with the match that I recently brought out, I believe it was in April, the Monster Survival match. Originally, it was 4-on-4 with the Struggle, three members of the Struggle taking on the Cat's Meow. But here it ended up, it was going to start out as a 3-on-2 handicap match with Massive Damage, Wrath, Sean Martins on one side, and Chris Parrish and Maniac on the other. But I did give them the option to fight a tag partner if they can. And hell, did they find a great one in the new Ripper Challenge champion, Drew Dawkins. Fantastic choice, if you ask me. Now, this matchup here, the rules were, you have two teams of three in this case. Elimination is by pinfall or submission. It is an elimination match. And once you're eliminated, you must go to the back. And anybody that, whoever is left at the end, whoever makes the fall on the final guy to eliminate a team, he will become the Monster Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. This is where you get rid of that finger poke of doom clause. So, So let's get to this match because we had a doozy right off the bat. Out of nowhere. 30 seconds into the match, Maniac gets eliminated by a pile driver. Like, Martin's hit a pile driver, Maniac, 1, 2, 3, gone. I just looked up, oh my God, he's out already. So right off the bat, we knew we were going to have a new champion. And I was downright befuddled here. The majority of the next almost 10 minutes, you had Chris Parrish and Jude Dawkins get beaten up by the members of the other three team, which I haven't been told a team name yet. So I know they were recently using Dark Reign, but I heard that's no longer applicable, or that's part of one of their tag teams, or I don't know. I'll get it straightened out for December, folks. But thanks to the somewhat cohesion, and if you guys check out CWC, I know I'm going to try to get some Evolution stuff up on the Video On Demand channel. You're going to know that Chris Parrish and Jude Dawkins have worked together most recently in Red Deer. And they started working pretty well, taking out Wrath. They ended up hitting a ton of moves, including a parachute, a frog splash, a cheetah bear charge, Abbey Road. Unload the kitchen sink. They did everything. And at 8 minutes and 50 seconds, Wrath got eliminated by a dogpile cover of Chris Parrish and Jude Dawkins, which, if they would have just let Parrish make that cover instead of both of them, that might have helped out in here, because 20 seconds later, at 9 minutes and 10 seconds, you had Jude Dawkins eliminated by Massive Damage right out of the blue with a huge spear. Now, resetting your scorecard here, it ended up being a 2-on-1 position here where Massive Damage and Chris Parrish, Massive Damage and Sean Martins were taking on Chris Parrish at this point. Now, Massive Damage looked to take advantage of a weakened Parrish, but Parrish manages to get Massive down and get him down for the 1-2-3 at 10 minutes and 50 seconds. So it's now down to 1-on-1 with Sean Martins and Chris Parrish. And folks, with the amount of bad blood that these two have had, you knew there was going to be adrenaline in this match. So Parrish takes it to Martins nonstop here, hitting multiple parachutes. But the turning point of the match, you had referee Ben jawjacking with Delmer, of all people. If you guys come to the MPW shows, you'll know who Delmer is. He's the real loud one in the crowd. Takes his eye off the ball and gets smushed by Sean Martins coming to, or sorry, Chris Parrish getting Irish whipped into that corner. Gets knocked out. Parrish manages to turn the tide. Hits the parachute. But then some mysterious guy comes out in a struggle mask, and I honestly thought it was Maniac, which goes completely against the rules, but I got to let the referees take care of some things around here tonight. He goes in and counts the 1, 2, 3 and demands I bring up the belt. I'm not ringing the bell because I don't know who the hell this guy is. So, you know, in my confusion, for some stupid reason, I did bring up the belt. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, Parrish finally realizes that this guy is not Maniac and gets his lights taken out with a belt shot to the head. Then it gets revealed that the man in the mask was actually, if you want to go way back, like this is before my time in covering FPW period, the manager for Chris Parrish, the man simply known as H, was the man underneath the mask who did that belt shot. I don't know why he did it. I don't know what his intentions are. All I know is Sean Martins took advantage, hit the pile driver, and then for the final elimination at 16 minutes and 30 seconds, your winner and new Monster Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, the headline Sean Martins. You know, I'll give the devil his due. He won the match. But I got a rotten feeling something come up with this dealings with H, and I'm at a real loss of what the heck's going on here. With everything going on all over the place when it comes to that heavyweight championship and this new faction that's forming. And yeah, I'm just at a loss of words. I'm going to have to figure some stuff out for Blitzkrieg. But then from there, we had an intermission, which was hard to get around because, frankly, there's way too many people in there, which is never a bad thing when you're talking about indie wrestling these days. But then we get to our Fans Bring the Weapons Battle Royal. The Ripper Royal. Folks, I could try and explain this. I could. There's a few talking points that drove me a little nuts and got me a little concerned. First of all, Maniac eliminated himself within, you know, the first couple seconds of the match. I rang the bell. He flipped over the top rope and walked out. The hell, do we have an Austin Aries here? I still haven't been able to get a hold of him, so I don't know what we're going to do about that. Some other talking points. There are a ton of weapons that were brought in. Just seeing Nasty Nate Nixon play with a rubber chicken just brings things to another level of comedy for me. But the biggest pop of the night, Massive Damage was beating down Chris Parrish in the corner, and Parrish defends himself with Silly String. In a hardcore battle royal where people are bleeding, a piece of Silly String is the biggest thing that gets over. My God, I cannot believe it. The other thing, let's just wrap it up here and for this matchup. And I actually made one mistake on the ring announcing, folks. I did not realize at the time that the headline Shawn Martins was not participating in the match. He just came in on his own. So the Cheetah Bear, Jude Dawkins, and Wrath were the final two competitors. Dawkins thought he eliminated Wrath, but Massive Damage and Shawn Martins held Wrath up on the ropes. Wrath managed to get in the ring, dump out the Cheetah Bear, and in 11 minutes and 40 seconds, the winner of the Ripper Royal is Wrath. Now, being the winner of the Ripper Royal, he gets the final wildcard berth into the Blitzkrieg match coming up December 1st at the Alberta Avenue Hall. I'll get to that details on that match here in a bit here, but I think before we get there, I'll go for my highlights and my surprise of the night. My highlight of the night, personally, we're looking at the future of MPW in that provincial title match. We have Nasty Nate, who, you know what, cockiness all aside, he's got that aura about him that he is that damn good. He's going to have to work to prove it now because he doesn't have that title anymore. Kid Cyrus, High Flyer, champion now. Desiato, new guy. Don't know a lot about him, but from what I saw, he's got some experience beyond his years there. And then, of course, El Diablo, one of the mainstays of MPW, hanging with the young guys and hanging on very well. And, of course, Diablo is going to be the surprise of the night. I can't really call it a surprise of the night because I do, but the pop that the crowd gave for Diablo, that was great to hear. Let's put it that way. And my other highlight of the night, because I get a bonus one, because unfortunately my cohorts couldn't join me on this podcast, I'm going to give it to the crowd tonight. Once again, thank you everyone for coming out. You were loud, you were boisterous, and you appreciate good wrestling, and that's what we enjoy having you with. Like I said, every seat was full. People were standing in behind. It looked like everybody had a good time. And it was a great night overall. But our next Monster Pro Wrestling show is going to be coming up on December 1st. And actually, that's going to be my last show as acting Monster Pro Wrestling General Manager. If people didn't hear, following the Edmonton Combat... Bad moratorium, sorry. that happened last January. I signed a one-year contract effective January 1st to be the general manager of Monster Pro Wrestling. But my contract's run out, and with some big announcements that I'm going to be coming up with in the next, I'll leave them till December out of respect for this job. I just have too much on my plate right now that I see the new management is doing new things to improve the product. We got new staging. We got new lights. We got another big surprise for you guys for next month. That's going to be absolutely awesome that you guys are going to actually be pretty shocked to see. Just wait. You're going to see some greatness coming up here, folks. But our main event for our December 1st show is going to be the Blitzkrieg match, which is essentially, it's a Backbreaker Media invention. I invented it 4 years ago. It is an all-star game of wrestling in MPW. You have the winners of the major four events, plus the champion, plus the winner of the Ripper Royal, get a shot at the Monster Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship in a gauntlet match that is pinfall, submission, or over the top rope bed, both feet touching the floor. So I'm going to have details on all the competitors and some videos up on them here in the upcoming days. I've heard some news coming down the pipe that we might need to make some changes to some of the spots. I'm going to have to talk to the MPW head office and get that all straightened out here. Hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll have all the spots locked up for you here, though. But that's going to wrap it up here for Quick Calls. Coming up this week on the network, hopefully Monday night, I still got to get a chance to edit it. We have Monday Night Sean, the latest episode, and it's going to be a special Canadian Wrestling's Elite Edition featuring the Hellraiser Justin Locke and Roy Flash Gordon, a.k.a. WWE's Chilean Seabass, who one of the performance enhancement talents that they had recently on Monday Night Raw. They had a little road conversation during the Strut and Cut tour, going all the way from, I believe this was from Grand Prairie down to Springbrook, just outside of Red Deer. So that's going to be a rather interesting conversation. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet or edit it up. So hopefully I can get it up Monday night. If not, it'll be on Tuesday. And then we're back to our regular schedule. The Sounds of Struggle coming up on Thursday. And then myself and KJ Cash, we're actually going to be back together on the Double Down podcast. I'll see if Spencer can make it out. Talking about this week in women's wrestling. And then our next Quick Calls is going to be coming from the Real Canadian Wrestling Fallout show from the St. John's Cultural Center in downtown Edmonton, with the main event being the Newfoundland Viking Rage taking on the team of Dynamic Dean Richter, Real Talk Dean Richter and Bray Lewis, the team known as Onslaught. That's going to be a very interesting tag match as well. So I got some big announcements coming up on the network. Also, I almost forgot about this. Make sure you check out my article on ProWrestlingPost.com coming this Tuesday. Supposed to drop at 11:30 Monday night Mountain Time, so 1:30 Eastern. And it's going to talk about the Alberta Pipeline and a lot of the people. I'm not going to kid anybody to say that I'm the be-all, end-all knowledge of wrestling, but I do a little bit of research. And talking about the Alberta Pipeline, people that have progressed into the upper echelons of wrestling in Canada. And as well, a lot of people have been asking about my story about how I met Rachel Elrig and the fact that I got to see one of my favorite rivalries in Giselle Shaw and Rachel Elrig, thanks to a well-known wrestler known as Lance Storm. But make sure you check out ProWrestlingPost.com at Tales from the Ref coming up this Tuesday. So, but I want to thank each and every one of you for checking out the Quick Call show here. I am acting general manager, Mike Maloney, and senior editor of Backbreaker Media. And I just want to remind you all, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls, coming from the Alberta Avenue Hall in downtown Edmonton, Alberta, with Monster Pro Wrestling Retribution 11 here on Dot Breaker Media.